the business I took over. Well, I had no money, so I couldn't pay for food. I had a cook and second cook and dishwashers and a lot of waitresses. I had to be there at 5:30 or 6 every morning to meet the butcher and the bread man and the milk people. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't leave anything without cash.
Mm-hmm.
I ran it for 90 days until Labor Day. Business was pretty good because of the beach business on the bay there right next door. But after Labor Day, it just fell to nothing. So I had to close it up. I went back to trying to sell real estate and very unsuccessfully. And I talked to my friend at the bank about, gee, they must be having trouble looking after all these foreclosed properties. And he said, well, yeah, they are. They're creating a real estate department. I think I would like to do that. Well, he said, I don't know. He said, they're laying off people all the time. Mm-hmm. All the banks and companies were. Anyway, late in 1932, I went down and talked to Mr. J.E. Hatch, who ran the bank. I don't know whether my friend had helped me or not. At any rate, he did listen to me. In January 1933, I started to work for the bank and the real estate department up on the ninth floor of the building. I was hired at $100 a month, which I was damn glad to get.
Yeah.
The day I reported to the office, had found an old desk for me. I was going to work for a man named Tholeen, who ran the building. And we were going to take care of the foreclosed properties in the same office. There's one piece of paper on my desk. It was a mimeograph notice to all employees that as of that day, all salaries had been cut 5%.
Oh, dear.
I started at $95. But I didn't quit because I got 6 cents a mile from using my own car. Well, I had, I mean, I guess 40 or 50 properties by that time. Houses, store buildings. And 2 months later, on March 10th, 1933, we had the earthquake.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you were at the bank when the earthquake happened.
No, my family was living, and I was living with my mother and father at 50 Park Avenue in Delmar Shore, a two-story duplex. And my idea of wanting to be a lawyer was still with me. I was going to night school, law, Southwestern University in the Ocean Center building. So I was work in the daytime, and I'd get home and have a quick supper, and I have to be in class at 6 o'clock in the Ocean Center building. And I was a little late. I was just rushing to get to school, and our apartment was just walking across the living room when the earthquake hit.
Mm.
It knocked me on my knees.
Mm-hmm.
A clock up on the mantel was thrown out on the floor. Everything rattled and banged, and my mother and father and I ran outside. People all around us were outside, and there wasn't any visible damage outside. We thought there must have been an explosion. Because by then it was quiet, but pretty soon, in a few minutes, there was another bad shake.
Mm-hmm.
In the buildings, we could hear them creaking and groaning, and our front door, which had been shut, flew open. that nobody was hurt there. The building, duplex like ours, two lots away, south of us, had tipped like that. Mm-hmm. Later it developed, it had been put on top of an old canal that nobody knew was there.
Mm-hmm.
It hadn't been properly filled. about 6:30, we decided it was maybe over. I got in my car and drove downtown to check on the girl I was going with, who lived at 9th and Elm. As I came along Ocean Boulevard, I began to see the fronts of buildings off, brick falling, and Coast Club had holes in the wall, mm-hmm. You could see right into it. I knew it had been pretty bad. I got up in 9th and Elm, and people were still out in the streets. They were worried. And this thing here came my mother and father in their car, which was all wet, water on the side. And they said that soon after I left, frantic men in cars, men standing on the running boards, went up and down the streets yelling, "Tidal wave, get out, tidal wave, get out." So my mother and father got in their car and they drove north to 2nd Street, which by that time was flooded. The water mains had all broken.
Oh,
okay. There was a big flood and some people were driving like maniacs and throwing water all over the cars. Of course, there wasn't any tidal wave, but it did scare everybody to death. We'd all read about tidal waves that happen after earthquakes sometimes. Well, the parents of my girl and my parents and I would go up on top of... There's American Avenue, which is now Long Beach Boulevard. Up about Bixby Road, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Where it was
mm-hmm.
high and dry.
Mm-hmm.
Sat in our cars up there all night, and all night long, ambulances and fire engines were going along there from Compton and Los Angeles coming down into Long Beach. So there were quite a few casualties by people who had run out of brick buildings just in time to be buried under the brick falling off the fence. Nobody was killed inside, I don't think. But the people who ran out, quite a few were killed. No fire started because, thank God, the gas department, somebody shut off the gas. The schools were all wrecked. Every school in Long Beach was wrecked. Polly High was a shambles. Woodrow Wilson, what there was of it, was a mess. If that thing had happened while school was on, there would have been hundreds and hundreds of casualties.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
What happened to Security Bank building? Was it
there? I couldn't get in there until the next morning. The elevators weren't working. There was no damage apparent on the outside. On the inside, every room in the building had broken plaster. All the corridors up above were lined with marble,
mm-hmm.
and it had been torn loose, lots of it lying out on the floor. It developed there was no structural damage to the building, the steel frame, except on the north and southeast corner, about the third floor, a couple of rivets had been sheared off. I discovered those later on. But the building had bent. Well, there were aftershocks for a week after that.
Mm-hmm.
In our office on the 9th floor, when those aftershocks would hit, the building would sway so building across the street, a clock on the top of the old Enlow
mm-hmm.
building there, that was out straight across from my windows. My building was sway so much, you'd lose sight of the clock. But the steel buildings were built for sale right now.
That was a building built about 1925.
Yes, it was. Well built. So it was the plaster damage. A lot of the brick on the outside was loosened. We had to hang guys on the scaffolds to check every brick on the outside of the building. We replaced some of them. But otherwise, we kept on going. Got the elevators working in 2 or 3 days. The aftershocks were a little frightening to everybody, but...
This was also the time that Roosevelt had closed the banks.
The banks closed, yes.
How
was that? Well, I scared everybody. What we didn't know what to do except keep on going. And I've forgotten. I think they were closed a week or 2 weeks. Somehow we had enough money to survive on hand. I was told that Federal Reserve was. Somebody had printed a lot of script to be used instead of money because they didn't know how long the banks were going to be closed after they were closed, but it never got distributed. There had been lots of bank failures at that time, and I think one or two of the great big banks were about to go. That's why. They closed the banks and got all the bankers together, and they worked out some pooling arrangement that saved the big banks.
Mm-hmm.
I won't name the one I was told was about to go. Anyway, they reopened. The Depression days were pretty horrible. I had to go out and take possession of homes. People I'd known, some very successful people. Real tragic. Some of the very successful men around town I saw working for WPA, digging ditches, and ex-bankers. I read about the unemployment now, the horrible 8.5% and 9%, which is terrible. I don't like it. But then it was 25%.
Yeah.
1 out of every 4 employable people couldn't do a job.
What kind of evidences did you see in Long Beach besides the foreclosure of homes?
The foreclosures and the WPA work, and the closed banks, every building and loan company in Long Beach went broke. Two or three small banks went broke. Bank of America, Security, Farmers and Merchants survived. Salvation Army was feeding quite a little people, quite a few. Actually, there were places you could eat, they're called round tables. Really had a round table that revolved. You had food sitting on it. You could sit at the counter and pick off the food you wanted. So you could eat all you could hold for 35 cents.
Who was running those?
Restaurants. They could make enough money. Food was so cheap. Gasoline, 10 or 11 cents a gallon. Got good suit of clothes for $35, $40.
Yeah.
Lots of unemployed people. But anyway, I was very impressed with the merchants downtown after the quake in the middle of the Depression, when their stores wrecked and their merchandise thrown out on the floor,
day after the quake, we're down there sweeping up and straightening out things and getting ready to keep on going.
I've heard there was a great community spirit
there. Yes, there was.
After the quake, that people really helped each other and...
Yes, they did. Yeah. They put together an organization called Buccaneers. Businessmen, bankers. To try to create good morale and keep business going. In 1932, just where I went to work for the bank, I had been elected to the board of directors of the Realty Board. I think the youngest guy was ever on there. And they did that as they do now, a hometown speaking contest every year. The state organization sponsored them, and the national organization sponsored them. Well, I was drafted to be the hometown speaker for Long Beach in the fall of 1932. Well, I worked like it had to be a 5-minute memorized speech, no longer than 5 minutes. And I worked on that and rehearsed and rehearsed, and they took me around to every service club to practice. I went to the state real estate convention at Monterey in the fall of 1932 to compete, and I think there were about 20 contestants from all over the state. And somehow or other I won.
The whole state.
Everybody pretty well forgotten about that, and after the earthquake, the Realty Board said, God, we've got to do something to let the world know we're still here. We want to send you to the National Convention in Chicago at the World's Fair. And Long Beach was... Papers all over were still full of the wrecked buildings and the horrible earthquake. Well, I redacted the speech a little bit to be on a national basis and to fit in the earthquake which we were overcoming and rebuilding, and everything was going to be great. And the Realty Board had no money. The directors took up a collection about $65. They took up a collection to make up the rest of about $150. It took them to make a round trip to Chicago and stay in a hotel for 3 or 4 days. Well, I went. Scared to death. The contest was in a great big canopied auditorium with open sides on the lakefront. Must have been 2,000 people in the audience. By far the biggest one I'd ever been in front of. And at least 20 contestants from all over the United States. Well, anyway, I got second place. I'm sure I was out of sympathy for Long Beach. But it got some publicity for Long Beach. And by that time, I'd become a pretty devoted supporter of Long Beach and civic things.
It sounds as if that was the start of your civic involvement.
It really was. Making that speech so many times under those circumstances. And the guys were really bored in those days. They were pretty brave people. Believed in Long Beach and were doing all they could to help. So then about then I got involved in the Junior Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
was on a lot of committees, air shows and stuff. So, are you cold? Is that Wednesday?
Mm-hmm. Right? You want me to
check no, no.
I can try it.
Okay. In 1938 was the 50th anniversary of the city of Long Beach. It's rebirth. You know that Long Beach was incorporated in 1893, I think, first time.
Yes.
You've read the story about its disincorporation over liquor and stuff.
Yeah.
1938, they called the 50th anniversary of the city. Junior Chamber was pretty strong in those days, and the city asked the Junior Chamber to sponsor some kind of a 50th anniversary celebration. I ended up as chairman of the damn thing. There had been a period in which there were state societies here which were very strong. They'd have their state picnics in
mm-hmm.
Bixby Park and Recreation Park. The Iowa State Picnic was one of the biggest that was held in those days. Well, there were still quite a few state societies fairly active in 1938. So we decided to make our pageant, our 50-year celebration, a salute to the states from which all the people in Long Beach had come. And as a part of that, we wanted a state society for each state.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of them were going already, but we had to get out and find people from Nebraska, several states, and get them to call themselves a state society. One of the things we wanted was a queen for each state. So we were going to have a Miss United States chosen from all the state queens. Well, we got it done. A fellow named Bill Brooks, Herb Lynn, worked on that. We'd go out and get these people together and get them to elect a president and a secretary. We'd find Queen Fawn if they couldn't.
That was probably kind of fun.
Well, we had a guy, Jack White, he really loved that. And they loved him too, I guess. We had a company called the John B. Rogers Company who put on pageants of that kind. They developed a script of the history of Long Beach. From the time of the Indians. And we wanted to use the park on the south side of the Aldo Auditorium. Can you remember that? Remember the Rainbow Lagoon around the...
I remember the Aldo Auditorium.
Well, the Aldo Auditorium was surrounded by a very lovely park.
Mm-hmm.
Which was surrounded by a lagoon created mm-hmm. by Rainbow Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful setting. We had to get consent of the park commission to use that. That wasn't easy, but we did. Then we learned the cash required for about 600 people. Because they wanted parades of school kids and stuff. It was summertime. But we got permission from the Board of Education to let some of the junior chamber wives work out at Poly High School calling mothers and getting the Casella mothers to let their high school kids be in our pageant.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of adults too. We had horses, the old Spanish scenes required horses. We knew that in the old days there used to be a horse-drawn streetcar that ran from Wilmington through the mud flats
mm-hmm.
up to Ocean Boulevard.
Mm-hmm.
At the park. And we located one of those old horse-drawn cars. So we built a wooden track across the front of the stage. And then we found an old horse. You heard of Dr. Ross, Cat and Dog Food?
Yes, yes.
Well, his horse food plant was over in Los Alamitos, and we went over there and rescued an old horse that had the most extremely swayed back that we'd ever seen. So we used him with the streetcar. Well, the night before the pageant opened, and it ran 7 nights, at a full dress rehearsal. And among other things, the old horse was decorated with flowers on the harness and stuff. And dozens of photographers are taking pictures of all the cast and their costumes and the horses. They had some beautiful horses in it. And particularly this old horse. The kids loved that old horse. Well, that night about midnight, another guy, Neil and I were the last ones there, I guess, and we built a little fence on the side of the auditorium and with a barrel of water and outside of it some hay for the old horse in the parking lot. We thought we had everything in order, and I'd just gotten home down here on Park Avenue at about 1 o'clock and undressed when the phone rang, and it was the police department, and they said, "Hey, that horse of yours down there is wild and causing a big commotion. Get out there and take care of it." I called out Neil, and we got down there, and by that time the old horse had fallen over and died. He'd broken loose from the fence, got to the hay, ate too much of it, drank water, and swelled up. And
oh dear.
I've heard of that, and I've been told you can stick a hat pin or something in their stomachs, it'll relieve them, and the old horse had died. Well, Dr. Ross had said if you fellas ever let anybody know that that was one of the horses I was going to use for dog food, I'll shoot you. Well, what do you do with a dead horse at 2 o'clock in the morning in the parking lot of your civic auditorium? He couldn't get the doctor, and we finally got his daughter, who gave us the name of somebody who hauled, and that guy, we got him up in Alhambra. Well, yeah, he'd haul the horse, but he sure as hell wasn't coming till after daylight. Well, I and I stayed there all night. I didn't see any reporters. But the next day, the story broke all over the world.
Oh!
New York, Chicago, because the reporters had all these pictures already. And the great tragedy of this horse, the loved by all the children that died. Made stories in London and Paris and Sweden. The publicity we'd been crying so far was really there, out of this great misfortune. I guess the pageant was a success. It was sold out every night. We couldn't even spend quite all the money we had the year. Shocked some of the contributors by sending back a little bit of their money. The next year I became president of the Junior Chamber.
Mm-hmm.
For me that was a very intense job. I worked with some of the best friends I had during my life, and there's still a few of us who, most of them are gone now. But a few of us are survivors who were on the board of directors when I was president.